Transformation. It's an interesting word. In some ways, it's what Hollywood is all about. Robots in disguise, boys who become wizards who become heroes, skinny little guys who become superheroes, cowboys that defeat aliens, and on and on and on. We take the mundane and, with a little imagination, turn it into something else. Well, at least for the space of 2 hours in the cinema. But that's not the sort of transformation that's happening in this morning's gospel. It's not the type of transformation that we should be thinking of today. Today, transformation is something different, something permanent. The word literally means to change the form. Today's reading from the Gospel of Matthew focuses us on God's transformation. For nearly a month now, Jesus has been teaching the crowds and also his disciples. Sometimes he has explained the parables he has told, and sometimes not. But now, in response to the beheading of John the Baptist, his cousin and colleague at the hands of Herod Antipas, Jesus withdraws on a boat, looking for a deserted place, a place to be alone, to pray, speak to God about what John's death might mean, about what the next steps are going to be. Jesus' desire to be alone, however, to seek counsel from his Father, is circumvented by the crowds. They hear where Jesus is going and travel by land and arrive there before him. Instead of being cross, of upbraiding the crowds for bothering him when all he wants to do is be alone, Jesus has compassion on the crowds. And he heals their sick. And as the day draws on, coming to an end, the disciples, seeming to have been touched by a little bit of that same compassion that Jesus felt, bring to Jesus' attention the fact that they are in the middle of nowhere, and that there's more than 5,000 people standing around waiting to talk to Jesus, and they better let them go so they can go get something to eat. One of the critical transformations in this gospel story is that of the disciples themselves. Having listened to the parables of Jesus that he's been telling throughout the gospel, they seem to at least be getting an inkling of what it all means, what Jesus has been trying to say. And that drives them to make this suggestion. They're worried about the crowds, that they won't get enough to eat. Jesus is always delighted when people around him begin to look beyond themselves. So often he takes those ideas and does something startling with them. The disciples had come thinking of the physical needs of the people around them. A laudable and important thought. He takes their offering, breaks it down, turns it inside out, just as he will a moment later with the bread and the fish, and gives it back to the disciples as a challenge to feed them themselves. What ensues is a lesson in what God is about in Jesus. God, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God and Father of Jesus Christ, is a God of transformation. God's way is not to pull something from nothing, to, if something doesn't work the first time, scrap it and begin again from square one. God instead takes what he finds, and if he must, remakes it, changes it, utterly transforms it until it is a perfect fit in the kingdom of God. Just look at the bread and the fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish feed so many people that we have only a partial count. And this feeding, today's feeding, as miraculous as it is, pales in comparison to the event which the feeding itself foreshadows, the institution of the Holy Eucharist at the Last Supper, where Jesus, using the same formula that he uses in today's gospel with the bread, one of thanksgiving, blessing, breaking, and distributing, takes the most simple elements bread and wine and makes them the means by which we and the whole world are transformed into the family of God. One Sunday morning several years ago, I overheard two mothers talking at coffee hour after church. As one yawned, the other observed, "You look sleepy this morning." "I wasn't planning on coming," she replied to her friend. "Oh no, what changed your mind?" "My teenage son," she said glumly. "He hammered on the bedroom door at 7:15 this morning and demanded that I get up so that we could get to church on time." "I've never heard of such a thing," replied the other. "I know," agreed her friend. "I used to drag him kicking and screaming to church, and now he's dragging me. It's like he's a different person since he started receiving communion." Discipleship is all about transformation. Seeing what Jesus has done to us and for us, we blunder in with an idea, a thought that maybe we could help just a little bit. We offer what little we have, ideas, loaves and fishes, money, maybe a sense of humor, time, talent, whatever we have to offer. Jesus takes these offerings, sanctifies them, breaks them, turns them inside out and upside down before giving them back to us to use in ways that we had previously been unable to even think of. That's why we are here, in part, to offer what we have, as our prayer says, ourselves, our souls and bodies, that they may be blessed, broken, and transformed into the members of the body of Christ. Many of you will be familiar with the name Carolyn Serker. Carolyn is one half of the missionary couple with whom we work in Nicaragua every summer. This year, those of us who travel down to Nicaragua heard her tell a little bit about her battle with cancer. Carolyn was diagnosed with cancer about a year ago. She underwent surgery to have it removed and endured round after round of chemotherapy. As she spoke about her experience with the members of our church, she said, "I've come back to Nicaragua and I have new passion, new vision for those who are going through what I went through. And I have more energy than ever and sympathy for the people who share my diagnosis. God has opened my eyes to new avenues. In short, he has transformed my cancer into joy." God's wonderful works, which happen daily, are lightly esteemed, noted Martin Luther, not because they're of no import, but because they happen so constantly and without interruption. Make no mistake, God is on the move, changing the world even as we speak. If we come to the altar and offer ourselves to God, our offering will be accepted and used, and we will not be the same. Slowly, week by week, inch by inch, cell by cell, we will be changed more and more into the image and likeness of God, into the body of Christ, into sons and daughters in God's kingdom. This is not without risk. After all, if we are transformed, we will be different people. We will become God's people. If we, like the bread and the wine of the Eucharist, the loaves and the fishes, are blessed, broken, and shared, then we live in the freedom of Christ. We become, in being blessed, broken, and shared, free in Christ. But that can only happen. That freedom can only come if we are prepared to offer what we have. Amen.